Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father, now and forever, through our ever-living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're a sheep or you're a lamb. As we heard and saw again last Sunday, God's word often speaks of, frequently refers to human beings that way. Which means that from God's vantage point, we aren't the smartest, swiftest, strongest, or most self-sufficient of creatures. But that's okay. Because Jesus, the Almighty, all-knowing Son of God, calls himself the Good Shepherd. In fact, he says, he's your Good Shepherd. But then the shepherd left the pastures of this world. And where does that leave us? Oh, sometimes it seems to leave us in kind of difficult, challenging places, and at other times, maybe we might feel like we're really between a rock and a hard spot, such as was experienced and is recorded in Acts chapter 4. This sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. And after they were released, they went to their own people and reported everything the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats, and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they had assembled, where were assembled, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Now, the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them, on all of them. So far, the words of St. Luke. It was so good. It was so good to see Peter and John. They had been arrested, you know. They had been even put in jail. Peter had healed a disabled beggar. And he and John told people that this healing had happened in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, the very same Jesus that so many of them had yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him," not all that long before. While the civil and other authorities, they didn't really appreciate hearing and being reminded of that, and probably thinking that maybe a little jail time would result in Peter and John's cooling their sandals, they put them in jail. But then after just one night in jail, the authorities released the apostles. Ah, the Good Shepherd was watching over the flock. He had rescued two of his sheep. In fact, two of his under-shepherds. Everybody was so relieved and they were so happy. But then Peter and John repeated the orders that the Sanhedrin had given them when they were released. The Sanhedrin being that same high-ruling Jewish council that had figured in the death of Jesus. And here were the orders. You are not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Well, just like that, the happiness high halted. And how do you say it? All the air went out of the room. And when air returned and people caught their breath, I imagine there were maybe some people that are saying, well, I mean, the authorities are closing us down. They're putting us out of business here. I doubt very many people thought about staging a political rally against the injustice of all of this because, well, they knew that wouldn't go and end well for them, not in view of what this same the Sanhedrin had done to Jesus. Ah, but what to do here? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Your government has not slapped a no Jesus talk gag order on your pastor's sermons and Bible classes, nor has the government slapped that kind of order on your personal communications and conversations. And yet, how often do you personally, open your mouth and tell somebody not the rules and commandments of God, but tell somebody also about Jesus Christ, about his cross, about his empty tomb? What would you say? Do you do that several times a week? Or is it maybe more like seldom? How long has it been since you personally said something like this in a conversation, an email, in a text? Jesus is your good shepherd. You're his sheep. You're his lamb. Jesus Christ cares about you. And Jesus will take care of you. Because Jesus Christ took on a cross to cover and take away all your sins, all your guilt, all your shame and regrets before God forever. Has it been a while? Maybe quite a while since you personally spoke or you wrote words like that to someone? I get how that can be. I really do. There can be some real repercussions from that kind of communication and conversation, I know. But quieting and hunkering down aren't really options. That's just not a viable way to go. Nor is claiming a personal hardship exemption here, kind of like Moses saying, well, I don't talk very well. There really is no such thing as a personal hardship exemption here. Fellow sheep and lambs of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, talking about Jesus is a really big deal. It's a really big deal because the Word of God says nobody comes to God the Father except through Jesus, because the Word of God tells us clearly that everyone fails to follow God's commandments and laws, fails to be and do all that God wants them to be and do, and therefore everybody falls short of the glory of God. Talking and teaching about Jesus is a big deal because Jesus is he's the Son of God. And one of the very last things that the great shepherd Son of God told his flock before he went to heaven was, preach the good news about me to all creatures, teaching them everything I have commanded you. Oh, we hear you, shepherd. We hear you. You want us talking to people about Jesus. But good shepherd, did you hear? Did you just hear what happened here in old Jerusalem? How the Sanhedrin had said, don't do that. Don't be out talking and teaching about Jesus anymore. Talk about being between a rock and a hard place. What are we to do? And I'm thinking someone who would know what to do is the Good Shepherd, Jesus. I think I know what he would do because I know what Jesus did. We know what Jesus did when all kinds of pressure and stress and mistreatment, when he knew that this was coming at him and it was going to come down over him in the form of wretched trials and unfair trials and a wretched crucifixion. What did he do? He prayed. The Son of God prayed. And from Gethsemane Garden, he filed this petition with God. Father, if it is your will, take this from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And the Father heard the petition. The Father not only heard the petition, he acted on it. Because as St. Luke would later be inspired to write and record, an angel appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. And Jesus, he got up and went out and did the very hard and difficult that needed to be done. You may remember that just minutes before that prayer, Jesus had urged his followers to do the same thing. He told them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. The temptation being to be afraid of what was going to be coming on and out at Jesus, what was possibly going to be coming down and on them as well. They didn't pray. And they didn't stay. They got up, ran, and hid. To this day, we don't know who suggested that the group in Jerusalem that day long ago that they would pray. But that's what people did. And it was some prayer. I say that, first of all, because of what the prayer was not. It was not a rant about and against that den of murderers and that spiritually unjust, spiritual oasis that was a Sanhedrin. There was not one single plea in their prayer that day that said, Lord, get us some justice here and clean that place out. Though the Sanhedrin and other political people were very, very powerful people, there wasn't a lament either of, oh, poor us, things are really getting bad for us now. Nor was there a petition requesting permission to just kind of throw in the towel here, give up the cause, and scratch the mission of the shepherd. Second, their prayer was adoration of God. It addressed him as the Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord doesn't just mean that he's got a whole lot of power. It means more than that. It means that Jesus, that God has power that is total, that it's absolute. And then they referenced that from their recent history and experience when they pointed out and said, yeah, Lord, and your power, it extends over kings and rulers, even to the point that God had used pagan, politically powered and driven Pontius Pilate and spiritually bankrupt King Herod had used those men to, against their own wishes and will, nevertheless, used those men in their position to accomplish heaven's agenda. And then adoration of God went on even farther when they quoted God's own words, Psalm 2, in fact, which recognizes that powerful people pushing back against the will and the mission of God. That's just how it is, and that's how it's going to be on this planet. But they don't prevail. They don't win in the end. They don't win over God. And then the prayer. Then the prayer went to what really concerned everybody in the room. That somehow preaching and teaching about Jesus would continue despite the threats of the Sanhedrin. And I want to read their exact words to you once more, because their words are just so amazing. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You hear what they wanted? What they wanted for themselves at the end of the day, right? And that was this, that all of them would be spreading Jesus' name and word. And it would appear that everybody in the place was in favor of that. And I think also that Christians are always in favor of the name and the word and the power of the Lord Jesus getting out and around. But our proud me and comfort-centered flesh isn't in favor of that. And I'm sure recognizing that is why everybody in the room in Old Jerusalem prayed that day. But you know, it's hard to pray for boldness when you know that boldness is maybe going to bring more heat against you. It's really hard to pray for boldness then. But the people that day, going back to God's word, Psalm 2, reminded and were reassured that they have a Lord, they have a God who's really in charge. That they have a humble, but nonetheless powerful and effective shepherd who laid down his life to rescue his sheep from the fangs of death and from the pangs of hell. And the powers that were at the time were not able to hold the shepherd down, could not keep him in the tomb. And when people had been reminded of that and reassured one another of that, what happened next? They all prayed for boldness to speak and teach Jesus. And I can assure you that that prayer was heard too. Because when the prayer ended, did you hear it? What happened? The place, the room, the house they were meeting in was shaken. Pretty impressive, huh? Imagine suddenly this room started to shake this morning. But you know what? That was only the beginning of the shaking. Real shaking can be seen in the rest of the book of Acts. It can be seen in the letters of Paul and John and Peter. And in the rest of the entire of the New Testament church's history. Because there we see and there we read and there we hear that Christians were doing the very thing that the Christians prayed for in Old Jerusalem. And undoubtedly they prayed for many times after that. We see and hear Christians who were boldly speaking God's word. And the souls of a lot of people were shaken up. They were shaken away from their stubborn pride, shaken out of their cold indifference, and brought to admit their sins and move to believe in Jesus the Good Shepherd who had died for them and taken away their sins and saved them for the sheep pen of heaven. And before those people went to heaven, they in turn caused some shaking to occur. Because those people, before they went to heaven, they talked it up and they taught Jesus to still other people. And at some point, you have to be really glad that happened. Because at some point, somebody had the boldness to speak and teach about the name and power of Jesus to you. And now it's kind of our turn. It's our turn to make the beat go on. To speak and teach boldly in the name of Jesus. And if you're actively doing that, great. Jesus surely thanks you. And if you've kind of backed off, thinking that, your prayers haven't really shaken any place you've been sitting recently. Or you feel like maybe your prayers and words haven't exactly rocked anybody else's world. Please think again. Think of people for whom you have prayed. At home in your own personal prayers, here in this place, as we'll be doing again this morning, think of people for whom you've prayed. And your good shepherd has shaken serious illness from them and has given them the strength and the wherewithal to shake off a serious loss or a great setback in life. And then think also of times that maybe you were bold enough to tell somebody, I hear your confession, I hear your apology. God forgives you because of Jesus. And I forgive you too. And maybe some of those people sighed and they smiled and they said, thank you. It's good to hear that. Or maybe you can think of somebody who was really down, very afraid, and you had the boldness to say to them, you may feel alone, but you're not alone. The Good Shepherd Jesus is an ever-present shepherd, and he's got power and strength greater than anyone or anything else, even death. And the person to whom you said that looked up and said to you, that's really good to hear. That picks up my spirit. It calms me down. I'm feeling better already. A person who is ignorant of and doesn't know Jesus as the Good Shepherd, how good a thing is that? No, it's not. It's bad. It's really bad. Times of regret and guilt and fear and depression in the lives and minds and hearts of folks around us. That's bad. That's really bad for them. Those make for really bad times. But forgiveness, peace with God, hope in God, knowing you're just a sheep, you're just a lamb, but you're led and being cared for by the Good Shepherd, who is really, really great. How's that? That's good, isn't it? That's really, really good. So, fellow sheep, fellow lambs, keep the old Jerusalem prayer going. Ask and keep on asking the Good Shepherd, Jesus, enable me, and all your servants to speak your word with great boldness in these bad times and the bad times of people around us, so people around us might have good times in the Good Shepherd that not don't just last for a good long time, but are forever. Shepherd, make your sheep bold to speak. Amen.